Good evening, Pastor Schaefer here. It is Monday night, April 20th. It's been a few weeks now since we've had church. It's been quite a different ride these last few weeks, doing these podcasts every night. Tried to come up with something different every night. And Saturday night, I started with my testimony. And then yesterday, we had a regular message, Sunday message with special music at the end. And today I want to pick up where I left off with my testimony. Before I do that, let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Great verses having to do with God's will. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Great verse. We're being told to trust in God. Don't be supported. Don't lean on our own understanding. Because let me tell you, God's ways are not our ways. His ways are way above our ways. Turn to Isaiah 55 also. I just thought of this. Isaiah chapter 55. There's some verses in there that talk about God's ways that kind of play into what I want to talk about tonight with my testimony. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 8. This is what God says. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And let me tell you, when you hear the rest of my testimony, you're going to understand that God was calling the shots. I have to give him the honor and glory for everything that's happened. I would not have done it this way. I never even envisioned that my life would take the various turns and twists that it's taken. It's been quite a ride. There's been a lot of sorrow, a lot of heartache. There's also been a lot of joy. And over the past, well, since 1987, we've had four different churches. We're in our fourth church now at Tabernacle Baptist Church up in New Britain. And each church has presented its own challenges, its own difficulties. We're thankful for the church that we're in now. It's been a real blessing to us. During the crisis, it's really been a blessing because the people have been very supportive. And even financially, our church is doing well during this crisis. I just got to thank the Lord for that. Well, back in 1987, I graduated from Bible school. I had been working a part-time job to get through school. And near the end of school, I think it was in January of 87, I got laid off. And so I had to make it for a few months without working, so I was on unemployment. And people sent me money, which was a real blessing. And one day we came home from church, and there was $700 in cash stuck to our front door. To this day, I don't know where that came from. But God was supplying our needs. And we made it through. We paid all our bills. And I was graduated and started praying about God's will. And we ended up at Community Bible Church in Oneida, New York. It wasn't a Baptist church. It was a Bible church, but it was a strong standing church. And we had a good ministry there. We were there, well, unfortunately, only 10 months. The time that we had with them was good. We saw a lot of people saved. The church was a complete wreck when we got there. They were close to closing. All the mail was strewn in the aisles upstairs in the church. I mean, these people had just given up. The IRS didn't even believe they were a church anymore. The parsonage had about a foot of water in the basement with botulized jars of stuff floating around in it. There was no heat. The furnace had blown up, and there was oil film all over everything from when the furnace blew up in the parsonage. But we were excited. We got into that ministry, and they did pay us. It wasn't a lot, but we were able to manage and get squeaked by. and we redid the whole inside of that parsonage, cleaned it all up. Another church gave us a furnace, so we had heat. We got rid of all the stuff down in the basement, and then we did a whole lot of work at the church. And we were young, of course, back then, in our 30s, so we had all kinds of energy. We only had two kids at the time. Benjamin hadn't been born yet. Our kids were in Christian school, and we were making it. But unfortunately, that church had a problem. There was a split between the people in that church, and it just never was resolved. I mean, it happened before I ever got there. And it just remained to be a problem. And finally, after 10 months, the church, they had a meeting and they made a move, they made a decision that really was against the Word of God. That's all I can say. And it was heartbreaking. It was heartrending when that happened. And I knew I couldn't stay. And there were pastors counseling me, don't you dare stay at this church because they're going in a way that's wrong. And if you stay, you're going to compromise. Well, we had no money. We were just about out of money. And I had to resign. And it was just very heartrending. I remember my wife and I in fetal positions, sleeping at opposite ends of the house. I don't know if I've ever been that upset before, even over a death. It was the most upsetting thing I think that ever happened to me in my entire life. It just about destroyed me. And I'll never forget it. We were packing our stuff up, and we had rented a truck, which we didn't even have the money. We had to do it on a credit card. And we didn't even have any money to back the credit card. So we had to borrow money to move. And my wife was up in the attic, and she was throwing things down to me. I was loading the truck. And I'm standing there at the bottom of the ladder, and all of a sudden, there she is on the floor next to me. She had stepped between the joists, gone through the ceiling, and there she was on the floor. She was unhurt, thank the Lord, just bruised a little bit. And she had insulation in her hair and everything. I'll just never forget that. And there's a big old hole there in the ceiling when we left. So we packed up, we left the church, came back here to Connecticut. Unfortunately, we had to live with my parents, which was very demeaning. I mean, they weren't saved, and I felt that it was a horrible, horrible testimony with what happened. And I started working with my dad. He was a painting contractor, and I'd worked for him in college, and I started working for him again. And I was trained to be a software engineer, but I worked with my dad. And that was a very depressing time for us. We were attending back at our home church. And I don't know, I got it in my head that maybe we should start a church down in Ledyard where my parents were. And my church, my home church, commissioned us to go there as missionaries, as church planners to start a church. And we held our first service. And like a lightning bolt, the Holy Spirit hit me and said, you know what, this is not God's will for you. What are you doing? So I had to go back to my home church. They had a meeting. I told them I was sorry. It was wrong. I was out of God's will. And so I ended up becoming the assistant pastor and Christian school administrator in my home church once again. So I stayed for another couple years, and that was a healing time for us. But I think the most healing thing that happened, really, was my son, Eric, the oldest, was out rummaging in my dad's garage, and he came across this really, really old notebook. And he brought it to me, and it was a book of poems that my great-grandmother had written. And she was a Christian, and she was writing all these poems about the Lord. And I'll tell you, I started reading those poems, and God really used that to lift me out of my depression. To this day, we don't know how that book ever found its way into my dad's garage. That garage was newly built. There was no reason for something like that to be in there. So I don't know. God worked it out somehow and used it to get me turned around. Well, I was in my home church for a couple years, and there was a missionary pastor in Vermont who had started to work. He was an older man, and he just couldn't do it anymore. And he asked if I could possibly come to Vermont and pastor that church, because he just was unable. So we did it. We went to Vermont. I started pastoring. It was a very small church, very poor church in the poorest area of Vermont. There was no money. I was working part-time and almost literally was the only person in the whole church that was working. Everyone was retired or on government assistance or whatever, and I was working part-time. And we had a good ministry there. We were there for a couple years, but then my job ended. I got laid off. It was 1992. You couldn't even pump gas in Vermont. There were no jobs. And we were getting deeper and deeper in debt because I wasn't working. And it just became impossible. I had to resign. We had to come back to Connecticut. We started going to Heritage Baptist Church. Our kids went to Christian school there. I got a job working at a hedge fund. And a Christian friend rented me a house and told me that whatever you want to pay for rent, just pay that. I'm not asking for any certain amount. Well, let me tell you, that was a blessing. And another Christian friend had a bunch of credit on credit cards, and he allowed me to pay off all my bills and put it on his credit cards. And then I paid him back every penny. It took me 2 or 3 years to pay him back, but I did. I paid him completely back. He was taking a chance, really, but the Lord enabled me to pay him back all that money. So we were able to pay all our bills. The Lord took care of us in every respect. Well, while I was at Heritage, I started teaching at the New England Institute of Church Planting. That was a real blessing, and I really enjoyed that. That was several years of doing that. And then the Lord made it known to me that He wanted me to start a work in Hamden, Connecticut. And so Heritage Baptist commissioned me for that work, and they ordained me. I hadn't been ordained. I was licensed to preach way back in Oneida, but I wasn't ordained yet, because I wanted to wait until I really, really knew what I believed. So I waited 9 years until I was ordained. So they ordained me and sent me out. I went to Hamden. We started a church there in Hamden, Hamden Bible Baptist Church. We had a really good ministry there. It was about 8 years. And we saw a lot of people saved. We saw the church grow and become formed, and we went to the IRS and we got our 501c3, and I'm telling you, God was good. It was an enjoyable time. But then the building that we were renting sold, and the new owners did not want us in that building anymore, so we had to find another place to meet. And so the city of Hamden, every time we found a place to meet, they would shoot it down over zoning, and it became very discouraging for the people. And we started losing people because they felt like this just wasn't going to go. And so we ended up meeting in a home for several years. And the church just didn't grow in that situation. And I was homeschooling our youngest son, Ben, at the time, and working full-time at the hedge fund remotely, and pastoring full-time in Hamden. And towards the end, I couldn't do it. I was just so burned out. Trying to do all those things at once, it was just too much. I ended up in the hospital. My blood pressure was 160 over 120. And the doctor said, you've got to quit all this or you're going to die, literally. So I got out of the ministry. I quit my job at the hedge fund, but I went back as a consultant, only part-time. And it was a time of healing for several years. And during that several years, I helped out in several different churches. I was a minister of music in a church. I was a choir director in another church, just helping out. And during that time, I started taking voice lessons, which really, really helped me. I'll tell you what, God used that big time in my life because I was burned out. And I'll tell you, the first 6 months of my voice lessons, I couldn't get through a song without breaking down. But I had a really good teacher, Katerina Boudreau, and she really helped me to get through that time. So So thank the Lord. See, God knows what he's doing. You can't put him in a box. I would never have thought that music would be the thing God would use to heal me, but that's what he used. He used that, and he used physical activity. I started riding my bike a lot. I had a little tiny sailboat. I would sail my boat, during the summer. And in the wintertime, I was skiing. I even became a ski instructor for a couple years. And God used all that combination of things to get me back on my feet again after Hamden, after being burned out. And, you know, helping out in the different churches was really great. I got a lot of good experience doing that, doing different things. And then the Lord called us to Tabernacle Baptist Church, where we are now, and that was just wonderful too, what God did there. And you know, by now we were better, we were able to do it. In fact, my wife and I are now retired, so we get Social Security, and I'm pastoring full time, and my needs are being met by the church, and it's just been a really great ministry. But when I think of all the difficult things that we went through, and there's a lot that I haven't shared. I mean, I've seen just about everything that you can imagine. In Vermont, we dealt with a situation where two people were murdered. And we dealt with another situation where someone was beating his wife, and he came after me with a weapon in the yard. I mean, I could go on and on. Our very first church at Oneida, the very first message I ever preached in my very first church, it was a Sunday school lesson. I was in Jeremiah, the false prophets of Baal. I'll never forget it. And there was a man in the congregation that really got ruffled by that message. And at the end of church, he comes up to me and he goes, "Hit me." He wanted to have a fist fight with me. This is my very first Sunday in my very first church. Well, I wasn't going to do that, so he went off in a huff and left the church, which was probably a good thing. But when I think about the different things that have happened, you know, it's amazing to me how the Lord kept us going. We probably should have given up several times. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15. I was thinking of this verse. And not in connection with the church that we're in, but some of our past experiences. 2 Corinthians 12:15, especially that first church. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. This is what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians. He says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." That was Paul's heart. He wanted to be completely spent for those people, and he was glad to do it. But the verse goes on to say, "Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." The more Paul loved these people and completely gave himself over to ministering to them, the less they loved him. It wasn't appreciated, the Apostle Paul. Now, I feel I am appreciated where I am now, but there's been times in the past where I could really identify with that verse. And I'll tell you, it's only God that has kept me going. The call of God, which I'm very solid, that God has called me to do this work of pastoring. And it certainly wasn't my idea, it was God's idea. And he has moved us around various places and put us in some very, very hard and difficult situations in the past. But he has well prepared us for what we're doing now at the church in New Britain. And we're just praising the Lord for where we are now. So I want to go to the Lord in prayer, thinking about this COVID crisis. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our church. Thank you for the members of our church and the support that they have given my wife and I. We are very thankful to be in the ministry that we're in. And Lord, this COVID thing is starting to get on people's nerves. People are starting to become restless, and people are protesting, and it could be that there might be some civil unrest coming. So Lord, help us to trust in you during this time. It's hard to be locked up in our houses all these weeks. We just ask, Lord, that it would not last much longer. We thank you for protecting the people in our church from getting the virus. Thank you for my daughter and her family. You've healed them from the virus. Lord, others haven't been so fortunate. There's been people that have died that we've been praying for. And thank you, Lord, for the ones that we have prayed for that haven't died. And we think of the relatives. And Lord, during this time, I pray that good would come out of this. I pray that people would be saved. I pray there would be a revival. I pray that when our church opens, that there would be an influx of people coming into our church. That would be a wonderful thing. Meanwhile, Lord, keep sustaining us. Keep supplying our needs. Continue giving us the grace that we need to get through this time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, good night. Have a great rest of the evening.